Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we're looking at the constitutional crisis in Zimbabwe within the government, refuting the claims from the main opposition that Zimbabwe is sliding into a dictatorship. But before we delve deep into our main topic, let's take a look at what is happening in the Middle East. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told Israel's Defense Minister Yoav Gallant that his country would always have the support of the U.S. in defending itself. He said this at a briefing in Tel Aviv in Israel.
We are here at what is an extremely difficult and very tenuous time for the region in the wake of the slaughter perpetrated by Hamas. We came here with four key objectives: to make clear that the United States stands with Israel, to prevent the conflict from spreading to other places, to work on securing the release of hostages, including American citizens, and to address the humanitarian crisis that exists in Gaza. We started, as you know, in Israel, and it was important to make it very clear that the United States has Israel's back. We will stand with it today, tomorrow, and every day. And we're doing that in word and also in deed. I spent time with Prime Minister Netanyahu to go through the needs that Israel may have to make sure it can effectively defend itself. And you've already seen a lot of that assistance moving forward. And that's a conversation that will continue. Israel has the right. Indeed, it has the obligation to defend itself against these attacks from Hamas and to try to do what it can to make sure that this never happens again. As I said in Tel Aviv, as President Biden has said, the way that Israel does this matters. Needs to do it in a way that affirms the shared values that we have for human life and human dignity, taking every possible precaution to avoid harming civilians. After we left Israel, we've gone now to, I think I've lost track, but to six countries in the region. Jordan, Bahrain, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, now here in Egypt. And the purpose of seeing all of our partners was first and foremost to listen to them, to hear how they're seeing this crisis, and to look at what we can do together to deal with many of the concerns that it's raised. What I've heard from virtually every partner was a determination, a shared view that we have to do everything possible to make sure this doesn't spread to other places. A shared view to safeguard innocent lives. A shared view to get assistance to Palestinians in Gaza who need it. And we're working very much on that. I made clear that it cannot be, must not be, business as usual with Hamas going forward. And at the same time, as I said, we're determined to do everything we can to address the needs of people in Gaza. Civilians should not have to suffer for Hamas's atrocities.
That was U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking in Egypt. Following the attack by Hamas on Israel last week and Israel's bombardment of the Gaza Strip, protesters around the world have held demonstrations showing support for both Israel and Palestinians. In Los Angeles, members of the Palestinian and Jewish communities took to the city streets in response to the unfolding situation in the Middle East. Genia Dulot has the report.
As the war between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas rages on, tens of thousands of people around the globe turned out publicly to show their support. In Los Angeles, the Israel Solidarity March was held Sunday near the Museum of Tolerance, where Karen Avital, who served in the Israeli military, said Israelis and Palestinians will not be able to live together until Hamas is eliminated.
At this point, we cannot. Not until Hamas is gone. We need to wipe them out. They need to be gone. That is supporting terrorism. We do not support terrorism. We do not want to live in fear, and we will never live in fear again, ever.
One attendee, Matt Rosenberg, said his cousin and her husband were killed in the October 7 attack on Israel by Hamas. He described the assault and how family members kept in contact with the couple's 16-year-old son during the assault.
And a grenade exploded the door down. Terrorists rushed in. My cousin jumped on her 16-year-old son and took a bullet, which went through her, into his abdomen. He miraculously survived, lying under his mother's body for a number of hours. For the next 10 to 12 hours, my family was on the phone, on WhatsApp, with their 16-year-old son, coaching him through the situation to make sure that he would not be discovered by the terrorists, who came back to their house three times.
A day earlier, several thousand Palestinian Americans gathered in front of the Israeli consulate to protest the bombardment by Israel of Gaza Strip. Taura, a member of the Palestinian youth movement who asked not to use her last name for safety reasons, spoke of the oppression of Palestinians by Israel.
They have been denied basic human resources. They have been denied food, water, electricity, fuel, medicine, anything that you can really think of. They've been denied every aspect of human life due to this occupation and military colonization of Palestine.
Iqbal Thabet, who says she emigrated in 2002 from the Palestinian West Bank to the U.S., described growing up there.
They were firing their bullets on me going to my school when I was high school. Many times I went back home because I couldn't get to my school. I witnessed night raids in our village, taking young children, young youth, 14, 15 years old, to jail in front of their parents. And I witnessed my neighbor's house being taken down. I saw that when I was 6 years old, just because some guys hid behind that house for some days, throwing stones on Israeli military jeeps and tanks. Yeah, you're invading their village. What do you expect them to do?
While federal and state law enforcement agencies have been on alert for possible threats, the demonstrations in Los Angeles remained mostly peaceful. Jenny Adulo, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Zimbabwe met with top African diplomats in Harare and briefed them of the current political developments amid political tensions following the disputed August general elections and the expulsion from parliament of 24 opposition lawmakers at the instigation of one Sevenzo Shabangu, who the opposition says is not a member of their party. The acting Foreign Affairs Minister Amon Murwira told African Union ambassadors that the recall of opposition CCC lawmakers from parliament does not constitute a constitutional crisis, but is a result of infighting within the party. He further said there were means of facilitating dialogue with the opposition in the country through Pollard.
This spirit of dialogue crystallized in the political actors' dialogue, or commonly called POLARD, at which all coalition parties and personalities meet regularly to engage in the national interest. This facility, which is meant to engender collaborative politics for national development, continues to be snubbed by one party and one player. In an attempt to defy their falsehoods, the opposition claims that Zimbabwe is political prisoners. Government wishes to state categorically that there are no political prisoners in Zimbabwe. The opposition also claims that its supporters are being harassed, intimidated, and persecuted. This is patently untrue and meant to cover up for their violent acts witnessed in Midlands and in Manicaland provinces in the just ended general election and local by-elections. The constitution of Zimbabwe clearly stipulates that all are equal before the law, and that nobody is above the law. Government condemns politicization of such a criminality. Overall, Your Excellencies, it is not a coincidence that Zimbabwe is under attack less than 2 weeks before we observe the SADC anti-sanctions day. The anti-sanctions campaign has been echoed at continental level by the African Union on many occasions and at various summits. In other international fora, government notes a concerted effort by actors sympathetic to those who imposed unilateral sanctions to undermine this important concern. Zimbabwe reiterates its call for the immediate and unconditional removal of these heinous sanctions. Allow me, Your Excellencies, to take this opportunity to reiterate the government of Zimbabwe's profound gratitude to the African Union for its continued solidarity and support in calling for the immediate and unconditional removal of the illegal sanctions. Excellencies, allow me to conclude by highlighting that the government of Zimbabwe has always urged Zimbabweans to continue to uphold peace by shunning violence and to continue to work toward the attainment of Vision 2030.
That was the acting Foreign Affairs Minister Amon Murwira in Harare. The ambassador of Rwanda to Zimbabwe, James Musoni, said there was no crisis in Zimbabwe.
There's an ongoing implementation of these laws as they are provided. So the briefing has been very helpful to us to understand that the country is actually stable, is going on well, no crisis.
And what's your view of the opposition CCC, the stance that they have taken?
I think there are mechanisms to resolve the any disputes as provided for by the laws, so we would appreciate if these mechanisms would be followed to address their grievances with the system.
How would you advise? What would be your advice?
I think they should look at what is provided for in the laws of this country and follow them to sort out any issues that may arise.
That was the ambassador of Rwanda to Zimbabwe, James Musoni, in Harare, speaking to Rutendo Mawere of Studio 7. Opposition CCC President Nelson Chamisa has reacted to the final SADC report.
Advocate Chamisa, what is your take on this report by SADC concerning the August 23 elections?
Well, first of all, is to appreciate the truthfulness and objectivity of the report. It's a bold move, a bold shot in the right direction. For a long time, African institutions have fallen short on being truthful and factual about certain things in the interest of covering for each other. But I can say that it's the first SADC has really done a fantastic thing. We are happy for the following reason. Number one, that there is a clear objective observation that the constitution of Zimbabwe was violated by the way the election was conducted in process and in outcome. It's clear that the Electoral Act was violated, so was the SADC guidelines. And that tells us that clearly it's an objective assessment without fear or favor. That, you know, accords very well with strengthening the principle and approach of having African solutions to African problems. But number two, it's also acknowledging that indeed what the people of Zimbabwe have been saying is actually validated, that this election cannot stand. It cannot produce a legitimate government and a legitimate leadership. What it can do at most is just to produce a caretaker government. And what is needed is a conversation, a political settlement, a political dialogue by Zimbabweans. Because this country does not belong to a political party. It doesn't belong to a section of a people. It belongs to its citizens. And the laws of the land are supposed to be the guiding compass. And where the laws have been violated, there is a need for a conversation to make sure that we remedy the mistakes and correct the errors. And that is where we are. So in a very big way, the SADC report is indeed a confirmation of the aspirations of the people of Zimbabwe and indeed a validation of their observation concerning the elections. Number three, what is also critical is that SADC is becoming that ultimate arbiter and court, a very perfect, you know, referee, being able to sit in with their and pointing at challenges as they are. So, yes, we have this obligation according to SADC of exhausting domestic remedies. But where those platforms are not available and where it is impossible to exhaust domestic remedies, we can always go back to SADC and say, please help us, as we have already done. We have written to SADC to say, please help us to help ourselves. Let's find each other as a people. Let's find each other as Zimbabweans. We want to make sure that there is a political dialogue.
That there was CCC President Nelson Chamisa in Harare. Let us now take a brief break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And to discuss the political stalemate in Zimbabwe, we are joined via Skype by Xavier Zavare of ZANU-PF and Godfrey Kurawone of CCC. Welcome to Live Talk, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Marvelous. Greetings to all our viewers and listeners across the world.
And Mr. Kurawone, can you hear us?
Oh, yes. I can hear you. Marvelous.
Yes, and I'll start off with you, Mr. Kurawone. We just heard there from your president, Nelson Chamisa, commenting on the SADC report. And then we also saw that there was dialogue between the acting foreign minister and the African Union ambassadors to Zimbabwe. What's your take on what's been discussed in Zimbabwe at the moment?
What I can say right now, Sis Marvelous, is that what is being discussed in Zimbabwe is not new to any concerned citizen of Zimbabwe. It's something that has been said for over 2 months now. It's something that has been said before, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years back, that we always have contested elections in Zimbabwe. We never had an election which was never contested, be it before the formation of the MDC or be it now. The elections of Zimbabwe has always been contested. And the reason for this contestation, they have been the same. That the ground field has never been level. That the government of Zimbabwe has been using such institutions to manipulate the voting system. So it's something that we have heard before. And if not solved right now, we will continue having this thing for decades and decades to come. And as for the statement which I heard from the mission that was in Zimbabwe recently, I heard someone saying there's no crisis in Zimbabwe. Yes, we expect that from any person who is coming from these revolutionary parties. It's actually a cult. They are in this to defend each other, whether they are right or they are wrong. They always defend each other. Look at what ANC is doing. Look at what Frelimo is doing in Mozambique. That's the kind of revolutionary parties we have in Africa. They don't care about the citizens. They only care about themselves. They only care about protecting their power.
Thank you there, Mr. Kurawone. I'll bring you now, Mr. Xavier Zavare of ZANU-PF. Please comment on what Mr. Kurawone is alleging, that you know your party and other revolutionary parties in Africa just care about themselves and not the people.
Well, it is a huge insult to the men and women who sacrificed their only lives to give independence to our countries in Southern Africa. Southern Africa in particular got independence through the shedding of young men and young women who gave their only lives to liberate our countries, Mozambique, South Africa, Zimbabwe, so Angola. So for anyone then to trample on the blood of those men and women who suffered immensely and who lost their lives, it's really sad and unfortunate. In the world to this day, people commemorate the Holocaust. People commemorate the heroes of the First World War and Second World War because they sacrificed for freedom for their own countries. It doesn't matter the sufferings that people might be going through right now in Britain, right now in the Netherlands, right now in America. The heroes of the First World War and the Second World War are still appreciated and respected accordingly. Mm-hmm. So it's very shameful for maybe anyone.
Mr. Zavara, if I can just come in there, I understand what you're saying, but moving on, how can Zimbabwe get out of this stalemate that we're seeing happening with the opposition saying the election was not free and fair, your party saying the election was free and fair, and the economy really at this point in time seems to be going downwards? How can Zimbabwe get out of this?
Okay, for starters, there's no stalemate at all in terms of the election outcome. It was unequivocal. ZANU-PF won the election. MDC won some seats, 70 in total, plus the proportional representation, which takes them to 104.
You mean that the triple C?
Election result. The triple C as the opposition. So that is the outcome of the election. Anything else that these guys are doing is just they're just being deceptive, deceiving the Zimbabwean population, deceiving the international community for their own personal interest, not the interest of the Zimbabweans. If they had the interest of the citizens of Zimbabwe, they would be tabling in meaningful contributions and solutions through councils, through their MPs in parliament, most of whom now have actually taken positions across the region, across the continent. You would have seen the report, the likes of Kore, the likes of Timba, all those guys have taken up lucrative posts in the SADC parliament, in the Pan-African parliament, because they're just in it for money for themselves, not for the country. President Emmerson Mnangagwa has clearly explained that we are going to leave no place and no one behind. What is important for us as Zimbabweans is to unite facing Vision 2030 and making sure Vision 2030 of making our country an upper middle income society by 2030 is achieved. It's a surprise that these opposition guys are not accepting such kind of a vision, such kind of a desire, such kind of an aspiration that ZANU-PF has tabled before the country.
Thank you,
if
Mr. Zavari.
If they were up for Zimbabweans, then they would be joining ZANU-PF in making sure that we achieve that vision of an upper middle income society by 2030.
Thank you.
Not playing silly, stupid games.
Thank you, Mr. Zavare. Let's just be respectful to each other as we continue in the conversation. Vakurawo nesaka poitwa sei tanzwa mutungamiri webato renyu vachamisa vachiti pari kuda kuti paitwe nhaurirano. Tikanzwa zvakare hurumende ichitaura vachiburikidza navamurwira vachiti ivo vanoda kutaurirana nehurumende vanofanira kuuya through Pollard. Saka poitwa sei apa?
I'll try to be respectful,
yes.
Marvelous.
Thank you so
but
much.
That's the problem with our colleagues from ZANU-PF. Young as they are, educated as they are, but once in the journey of ZANU-PF, they stop thinking. So, because we all know what happened after elections. We all read SADC report. We all read EU report. We all read AU report. We all read the Commonwealth report. Those reports, all the reports, they pointed to same things, that the election was not credible. They pointed to same things, that there was fraud in intimidating people.
they pointed to same things, that the election was delayed. And this comrade comes here and try to hoodwink everyone to think that the process was free and fair. When you all know what happened, we all know what happened. No one is trying to mislead the international community. They were here for themselves to see. They saw by themselves because they sent their observer missions. So we all know what happened. This arrogance, this type of arrogance, is the one that makes our country not moving because of these unpaid people. Now, no new ideas that we could expect from people who have been in power for more than 4 years. This is the reason why we are saying there's need for new ideas, there's need for new energy, there's need for new people. We can't have the same people for 40 years and expect new ideas. It's only a fool who does one and the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
Saka poitwa sea patrukona kuti parikudedzi rwotsinga paitwe na urano. Ukuo ve hurumende sekutwara kwandirikuita varikuti aiwa uyaine kupolad poitwa se.
Do pandirikuti dzimwe dzingori arrogance because we are all political animals and we know all how Pollard was formed and we all know who controls Pollard. But that's not the kind of dialogue we need. We need a genuine dialogue. We need a genuine dialogue with a people who mediate as really neutral. Dialogue is ZANU-PF thing. ZANU-PF is ZANU-PF controlled. So it's the same as going to join ZANU-PF. But we are not here to join ZANU-PF. We are here to find a solution for Zimbabwe. We are here to find a solution for the people of Zimbabwe.
Thank you there. Mr. Zavare, your last word as we round up our discussion.
Well, as ZANU-PF, we will not take lessons from someone who has benefited through education policies of ZANU-PF, through infrastructure buildings of ZANU-PF. So, vakomana vangava ngotanga vadzidzira kutakura mabhini muHarare, nemamutare, nemugweru, nemukwekwe. Vakakwanisa izvozvo kugadzira migwagwa yemumatauni yekumabvuku kwavari ivo, kwavari in charge, kwavari in control, kuchitungwiza, kubvisa sewage ikoko. Then tochitanga kutaura zvekuvakwa kwenyika. Apa pavarapa hapana zviripo, hapana zvinozikanwa apa nematongerwo enyika, hapana zvinozikanwa apa nemaaspirations emaZimbabweans. MaZimbabweans havasi kuda tsvina yakazara mumigwagwa kuchitungwiza. Havasi kuda masewage ari kuyerera mudzimba dzavo kumabvuku nekutafara, kulobhengula, kupelandaba under the opposition CCC. Izvozvo ndo zvavasiri kuda, ndosaka vachiramba vachivhotera ZANU-PF. Kuti vatungamirire mugwara chairo an upper middle income society by 2030, which is a clear vision yatiri kuona infrastructure ichivakwa through the leadership yavamunangagwa. Ndosaka muri kuona madhemu, migwagwa zvese zviri kuvakwa kuti Zimbabwe ikwanise kumira iyo yakasimba.
Thank you so much, Mr. Zavare.
Vane pfungwa iyo.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Zavare. Let's just continue to stay very respectful. Vakuraone, your last word. 10 seconds.
My last words, Marvelous, are that Zimbabwe needs leadership. Zimbabwe needs new ideas. Zimbabwe cannot be run by propaganda. Propaganda cannot resuscitate our economy. We need real leadership. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We were hearing there from Godfrey Kuraone of the Triple C, and we also heard from Xavier Zaware of ZANU-PF, who were really trading barbs about the stalemate in Zimbabwe, with ZANU-PF saying there is no stalemate and Triple C saying there is and it needs to be resolved. And that brings us to the end of our show. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.